Holidays bring feasting, fluffy dinner rolls, tasty stuffing, and your family's French toast bakes. With Hero Bread, indulge in your holiday favorites, made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, bagels, croissants, buttermilk biscuits, and more. And don't forget their Hero Hawaiian rolls. With 4 grams of protein and 0 grams net carbs, Hero Bread has you covered with 0 to 5 grams net carb and high fiber options, so your holidays stay delicious and balanced. Like their 3 grams net carb pan au chocolat. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains up to 17 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod. And you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. A Cola War. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
We love an underdog story here on Ghost Town, especially one that involves a corporation firmly entrenched in the American zeitgeist. Unfortunately, some of the most ambitious plans don't always pan out. Such is the story of the attempt by one Coca-Cola employee to steal and sell company secrets. Secrets that, as you probably know, are historically extremely closely guarded by the Coca-Cola company. Today on Ghost Town, the case of Joya Williams and the Coca-Cola conspiracy. But before we get into Williams, it's important to note her motivation, namely how deep the Coca-Cola and Pepsi rivalry actually goes. In 1886, John Stith Pemberton, a pharmacist from Columbus, Georgia, developed the original recipe for Coca-Cola. Soon the Coca-Cola Company was founded. In 1898, Caleb Bradham renamed a beverage that he had concocted that he first called Brad's Drink to Pepsi Cola and founded the Pepsi Cola Company in North Carolina in 1902. Since then, Coke and Pepsi have been in a heated rivalry as to who is better, more delicious, more innovative, and more creative, known colloquially as the Cola Wars. For years, the two companies would ping-pong advertising techniques like celebrity endorsements, bottle designs, and more. Though Pepsi declared bankruptcy in 1923 and again in 1931, it persevered, though eventually, in the mid-1930s, Pepsi approached Coca-Cola with an offer to sell following those bankruptcies. Coca-Cola declined the offer. But Coke wouldn't always be on top. If you remember, in the 1980s, Coca-Cola found itself losing market share to Pepsi, so it tried to sweeten its highly secretive formula to make it taste more like Pepsi. Of course, this proved to be disastrous. Then, of course, Pepsi had its own failings. Think Crystal Pepsi? Proving that throughout history, both companies have been in a cycle of vying, failing, and continually winning over the public's affection. For these reasons, both companies' campaigns and strategies, and even recipe formulas, are extremely confidential, secrets that few people know in order to keep the rivalry vibrant, competitive, and therefore extremely lucrative. In the early 2000s, Coca-Cola executive assistant Joya Williams was deeply in debt, unhappy at her job and, being a high-level assistant and secretary, in the know about Coca-Cola's highly confidential information. At a Thanksgiving in 2005, Williams approached a family friend named Edmund Duhaney, asking him to discuss a private matter with her. He said sure, not thinking much of it, after which Williams began contacting Duhaney about the matter, almost teasing him that it was big, really big. And she was not wrong. In late December 2005, Duhaney finally met with Williams at her apartment in Norcross, Georgia. It was there that Williams told Duhaney that she had copies of confidential Coca-Cola documents that were worth money to some competitors, including memory sticks containing data, confidential Coca-Cola marketing documents, and a product sample. Williams was angry with Coca-Cola because she felt she was not treated right by the company, and because she had signed an NDA, she felt she herself couldn't do anything with the materials. But Duhaney could. Williams asked Duhaney to essentially shop the info around to determine if someone would actually buy it. Seeing potential in the arrangement, Duhaney agreed. In February 2005, he contacted a friend of his named Ibrahim Dimson, who agreed to travel to Georgia to review the documents. On April 4th, 2006, Duhaney picked Dimpson up from the airport in Atlanta and brought him to Williams's apartment. Williams explained the documents to Dimpson, saying that information sales happened all the time in corporate America and that she thought Pepsi would definitely be interested in this type of intel. Dimpson and Duhaney then went to a local Walmart to purchase a black roller bag and plastic folders for the documents, the perfect attaché for Coca-Cola secrets. On May 8, 2006, according to court documents, Dimpson wrote a letter to Pepsi sent in an official Coca-Cola business envelope, care of Williams, of course. The letter was addressed to, quote, Antonio J. Lucio, SVP of Insights and Innovation in Purchase, New York. In the letter, Dimpson used the name Dirk and claimed himself to be a high-level employee for Coca-Cola. The letter read, quote, I have information that's all classified and extremely confidential, that only a handful of the top execs at my company have seen. I can even provide actual products and packaging of certain products that no eye has seen, outside of maybe five top execs. He went on to say that he was, quote, looking to deliver to the highest bidder. The letter further provided that the exclusive offer to Pepsi was only available for 2 weeks, and that Dimpson was willing to provide proof of the information. Dimpson also shared his own personal cell phone number in case Lucio wanted to get in touch. On May 19, 2006, Pepsi personnel faxed a copy of the letter to Coca-Cola security. 5 days later, Coca-Cola met with agents from the FBI about the strange letter. Coca-Cola explained to the FBI that the information in the letter was considered highly confidential, and the FBI began their own undercover sting operation, led by Special Agent Gerald Reichard, who was assigned to pose as a Pepsi executive interested in purchasing the information. On May 25, 2006, Agent Reichard, acting undercover and using the name Jerry, contacted Dimpson at the phone number listed in the letter, his, again, own personal cell phone. Dimpson answered as Dirk and confirmed that he had, in fact, sent over the letter. The next day, Dimpson sent 14 faxed pages of Coca-Cola documents that contained the company's logo and were marked confidential information or classified highly restricted straight to the undercover FBI agent, in addition to Williams sending a 65-pound package of all of her materials to Dimpson in New York and listing Duhaney as the sender. The transaction was underway. Delighted by the response from Pepsi, Duhaney and Williams were oblivious to the fact that the FBI were completely onto their scam and that it would absolutely not play out in their favor. On May 30, 2006, Agent Reichard had several phone telephone conversations with Dimpson, who requested that Reichard pay him $10,000 as, quote, good faith money for the documents and as proof that he was willing to purchase more information. Dimpson provided an email address to Reichard, as well as his personal Bank of America account number, where Reichard was to deposit the money. On June 2, 2006, Reichard sent an email message to Dimpson, verifying that there was, quote, quite a bit of interest in Dimpson's information. Dimpson, however, expressed frustration that things were moving so slowly and pushed for him to wire the money into his bank account quickly to show that he was actually serious. 4 days later, Dimpson called Agent Reichard again, wanting money and offering additional Coca-Cola documents, as well as an actual product sample. Meanwhile, with Williams still working full-time at Coca-Cola, security installed two cameras pointing straight onto her work area. On June 12, 2006, Coca-Cola security installed additional cameras near Williams' desk, and footage would later show Williams literally looking around for files or samples, finding them, and putting them into her purse or a plastic bag, and then into her purse. On June 15, 2006, Agent Reichard notified Dimpson that he had the funds Dimpson had requested and wanted to talk to him, so the two agreed to meet at the Atlanta-Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport the next day. On June 16th, a warrant was obtained to wiretap Dimpson's cell phone, and the FBI then recorded all the subsequent conversations between Dimpson and Duhaney, as well as voicemail messages between Dimpson and Williams. Soon, the big meeting was about to go down, and the FBI was ready. But were Dimpson, Williams, and Duhaney? No, of course they were not. More after this break.
Hi, hello, how are you?
Hello.
We're checking in.
This is the check-in.
How are you doing?
Summertime, almost. Springtime. Springtime check-in.
It's warm in L.A.
Yeah, it's warm here.
It's unseasonably warm in L.A.
It's the rung of hell here.
You think you got problems? It's in the low 80s here, and we're expecting it in the low 70s. Okay? So we don't want to hear about your problems. Us in the center of the universe.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Just alienating people.
It's really good. It's really good. It's a good thing.
Get them to hit that fast forward button any way that I can.
Mm-hmm.
We want to say hello to anyone who's listening, supporting us, spreading the good word of Ghost Town. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's drag the government right into this.
Let's do it.
Ghost Town government. Mm-hmm. The mayors. A couple of secret sellers of their own.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They love trying to sell a secret. Problem with it? Nobody was buying. They're like, I think we're good. This first mayor tried to sell the secret to a great product. Probably didn't need any secrets sold to Uncrustables. Peanut butter, jelly, white bread. Uh-huh. I like Uncrustables.
I do, too. They're all jammed together, too, in a nice little pocket.
Yeah, it's
good.
Why do I feel terrible? Though? Somebody find out for me.
Well, never. That's another mystery for a different episode.
Well, that wannabe sale was courtesy of Chris Hernandez.
Hello.
This mayor tried to sell a little secret. Nobody was buying. LaCroix or LaCroix, however you want to call it.
It's LaCroix.
It's LaCroix, right?
Yeah,
it's LaCroix.
People want to call it something fancier, but it's made in the Midwest. So
it's LaCroix.
Yeah.
When you hear Midwest, you can't help yourself.
Midwest.
You fall all over yourself to be like, excuse me, somebody from the Midwest has
narrative.
Something to say.
My own narrative. Hello, what about me? What about me? I'm interesting.
Well, this person tried to sell carbonated water and a hint of a flavor. The idea of a flavor.
Yeah.
A concept
the ghost
of a flavor.
Of flavor.
Yeah.
The ghost of coconut.
That's Marissa Rothermel.
Hello.
This mayor tried to sell the not so secret recipe to DiGiorno's Pizza. It's just like, they were like, yeah, we put the ingredients right on the box.
It's on the package. I mean, you're not going to make it, but if you wanted to, you could get some.
You could reproduce
dextrose and some pepperonis. Nobody and, like, slap
was,
it together.
Yeah, they're just like, we'll just buy the DiGiorno's.
Yeah, they're like, it's $6 at my local pharmacy.
Yeah. I could pick
up a grocery store.
I could pick up my cholesterol medicine. Not me personally, someone else could.
No, absolutely.
And then pick up a DiGiorno's.
Yeah.
And then just drop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's Casey Weber.
Hello.
This mayor tried to sell the secrets to Nature Valley granola bars. First ingredient.
Cardboard.
Crumbs. Yeah, cardboard crumbs everywhere.
So brittle. Why is it? Actually, I want to know why it's so brittle. There's got to be a secret to that.
Didn't get access to that part.
Okay.
It was just the rest of it.
Just oats.
Yeah, just
sugar oats, and oats.
Sugar and whatever, like, adhesive.
God, I was like, this is going to chip a tooth. How'd they make this?
Well, if you want to ask somebody, ask Kelly Meehan.
Hello.
This mayor got in big trouble for this one. This company's booming, and they tried to sell the secret to Liquid Death bottled water.
I mean, the secret's in the marketing.
Yeah. They were like, it's just, they're like, oh, how did, he's like, how, yeah, how do they,
what's the deal?
How do they manage to trick people into thinking this is like a cannabis? She's like, well, no, I have the ingredients list for you.
And they're like, okay.
It's water. And she's like, is it? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, oh, that's as far as I can get.
Tin can.
Didn't get a sale. Barely got an email response from
an automatic reply.
Yeah. It's Catrazo.
Hello.
This mayor tried to sell a secret to the Subway menu, the whole menu.
Woof.
And then they were like, we're interested. And then the mayor was kind of like, it's just too dark. It's like,
mayor's like, I can't ever live with myself. I'm going to have to leave the country if I sell you this.
Yeah. Like, what's in the, yeah, I know you're cooking the bread fresh, but is it?
Mm-hmm.
I like, see the ovens, but
is it? It's made of yoga mats. Remember that little tidbit of information? Yeah.
Just, what is going on? Like, the meats are all got to just be nitrate city.
Gummy. Oh, they're carcinogenic for sure. Yeah. The vegetables are carcinogenic. The best thing is the mayo there, I think, the healthiest thing. So that's saying something.
You probably put mayo in all those sandwiches there, huh?
Oh, I'm from the Midwest. I slather it on.
Oh, it's Ashley Mattson.
Hello.
And guess who is out to buy all of the secret recipes? Our governor. Pennies on the dollar looking to buy them up.
Oh, yeah.
You know how there's a thing where, like, you know, Amazon sells other people's stuff, but what they're trying to do is really just like, we'll just, oh, that's a popular thing. We'll just make our version of Amazon basics of blank, this cool thing that you're selling. That's where our governor is at.
Yeah.
We're like, we'll just take everything that's good that your idea and then just crush the competition.
We're going to suck up all the secrets and we're going to vomit out a product that's going to be pennies on the dollar. Ooh.
Yeah.
You're going to eat it up. You're going to lap it up.
McDoubles? Burger Krang? Plupsy?
God, I'm getting hungry.
You want all three of those things. You would love Burger Krang and a Plupsy right now, wouldn't
you? Oh, absolutely. I would love to beach myself on a couch eating my Burger Krang. My giant Plupsy.
We've either been doing this too long or not long enough.
Yeah.
Well, that would be our one and only governor,
Avian Noble.
If you want no ads, no chit-chat, bonus episodes, 7 days free. You want to listen to all these episodes ad-free right now without any...
I mean, after that, you do.
All we're doing is is creating an advertisement to not listen to
go
us.
Go to our Patreon.
Yes.
It's talk about pennies to the dollar.
Dollar, yeah. You can do it for $2.
To not have this?
For $2? It's $2.
Your quality of life.
You can't even buy a 64-ounce Plupsy with that. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod. You want to take a second and get back into it?
Yeah, I need a breath. On June 16th, 2006, FBI Special Agent Gerald Reichard met with Ibrahim Dimson at the Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, as they had planned. Dimson provided Reichard with Coca-Cola documents marked highly confidential, as well as a glass bottle containing a liquid product sample. Reichard paid Dimson $30,000 upfront and agreed to pay him an additional $45,000 after successful product testing. At a glance, the meeting clearly seemed to go well. Duhaney picked Dimson up from the airport afterwards, and Dimson gave Duhaney an envelope with $8,000, keeping the rest of the money for himself. Then Duhaney kept $2,000, as was his cut, and the next day gave Williams the remaining $6,000 in cash, which she deposited $4,000 of into her bank account the very next day. Video surveillance footage at Coca-Cola revealed that Williams continued to take Coca-Cola documents and product samples, and Dimson continued to contact Agent Reichard with new information he had to offer, hoping, of course, to sell more. Behind the scenes, Coca-Cola personnel verified that the materials the FBI had received from Dimson were, in fact, confidential trade secrets. On June 22, 2006, Dimson emailed Reichard a list of 20 new items in his possession, and the two negotiated a meetup where Reichard would buy the whole lot of it for a whopping $1.5 million. In order to ensure his presence at their meeting, Dimson requested that Reichard wire a total of $11,000 into his bank account. Dimson also called Duhaney to discuss the breakdown of the money, and they agreed to give Williams $100,000 to $150,000, with $50,000 up front. On June 29, 2006, the FBI did in fact wire $10,000 into Dimson's bank account, and the two met at a Marriott restaurant in Atlanta on July 5, 2006. Duhaney drove Dimson to the hotel and stayed in his car during the meeting. At the meeting, Dimson was immediately arrested, with extra FBI arresting Duhaney, who was, of course, conveniently parked outside. Later that day, Joya Williams was also arrested for conspiracy to commit theft of trade secrets. Dimson immediately pled guilty to conspiracy, and Williams pled not guilty and proceeded to a jury trial. Eventually, Duhaney would testify in the trial against Williams as a part of his own plea deal. The trial was pretty wild, with Williams spending 2 days on the stand, asserting her own innocence. She testified that she didn't steal anything from Coke at all, but rather took documents and product samples home to protect herself in case her boss questioned whether she was doing her job. She also claimed that the $4,000 in cash she deposited into her bank account in June 2006, you know, the sum she received just days after Dimson was given $30,000, came from a friend, not from Dimson himself. But the friend, an actual friend she named, Clifton Carroll, testified that Williams was lying. He said the most money he ever loaned her was $400, and that was after her July 5th arrest. After a lengthy trial, Williams and her conspirators were all convicted of conspiracy. Both Williams and Dimson were sentenced at the same hearing,
with Dimpson sentenced to 5 years in prison and Williams and Duhaney receiving 8 years in prison. Of course, both Coca-Cola and PepsiCo, a duopoly that together have the majority of the soda market, were not impressed by Williams's flimsy ploy to share secrets, but the attempt looms large in the continuing and dramatic history of the cola wars. Said spokesman Dave DeCecco about the whole thing, quote, "Competition can be fierce, but it must always be fair and legal. A great slogan by a major Fortune 500 company that I'm sure is always fair and definitely always legal."